Hi, this is Yasir Ali, founder, CEO of Polymer. We are a data security platform for SaaS and AI. Company is based out of New York and Austin.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So you mentioned something when you were introducing yourself, SaaS, and for those who are not familiar, that's software as a service. So can you tell us more about what Polymer does in the realm of software as a service provider?
So we work with enterprises and large and mid-sized enterprises to monitor, to provide a data observability layer over most commonly used knowledge work platforms and code bases. So these include your ticketing system like Zendesk, Salesforce. You will be most likely using a file storage system like OneDrive, SharePoint, Google. You will be using email services like Gmail, Outlook. So all these environments which your business kind of runs on outside of databases is basically where we provide an observability layer and data loss prevention layer. So we make sure that, first of all, makes their organizations understand what is in their environment, what sensitive data is sitting out there, and what's at risk of being leaked or is leaking, as well as we provide a layer of human risk management where your employees can get trained into better data handling processes, data governance principles while they're using the platform. So, for example, if an employee is sharing a patient file, customer file with an outside email or downloading it or sending it to a Gmail account, there'll be a prompt coming from Polymer saying, hey, did you really mean to do this? This is a violation of the company policy. You might not want to do it. And we also provide automated remediations to even stop those things from happening in the first place. And with AI, obviously, this is becoming a very important use case where a lot of AI services are being enabled directly where your files are sitting, your ticketing systems are, your chat systems are. And we provide a layer to understand what information is going into your third-party LLM models and what can be coming out of those models when someone is asking questions or using prompts.
Thank you. So before I dive deeper into mentioned LLM models and AI, I wanted to touch on the human element of the risk that your organization assesses. You said something about basically your product enables enterprises to assess their risk levels. But then enterprises are made of humans. Humans, by mistake sometimes, they pose an insider threat risk or deliberately pose an insider threat risk. So how does Polymer come in to be able to assist in a situation whereby someone is deliberately trying to steal company information? How does Polymer run in a way that employees are, you know, to balance their privacy? Because most employees, of course, you work for an organization, you have to protect the organization's data, but then how can Polymer run without necessarily vacuuming up every data, including employees' personal data, while still keeping that insider threat risk contained?
That's an excellent question. There are two schools of thought on it. This is a very philosophical question. When you sign a employee agreement, you're basically saying any work done for the organization belongs to the organization. So we take the perspective that if you're using company platforms like company emails, company ticketing systems, and file storage systems, all of that is a company-owned information set. You might have an argument on the other side of this saying, well, an employee spends 10 hours a day within the company premises, virtually or physically. There might be some personal information in there. That's fine. The platform is basically designed to allow to level set. Well, let me just step back for 1 second. Human risk is the most important cybersecurity risk threat vector in any organization. 90% of all breaches happen because of some human risk sloppiness or just pure stupidity or malicious intent. So making a sense of who your high-risk employees are, prohibiting or nudging employees into doing less risky behavior when working with sensitive data, all those things help your organizations to become more secure over time. So we're a big proponent on reducing this human risk. And we found that the more you're involved in the workflow an employee is using already is much more effective way on nudging better outcomes from employees, in at least from a data governance principles, versus having them send for quarterly information security training programs. In terms of how do we balance privacy, if you're using an incomplete system, we allow unlimited visibility, granularity to our enterprises, to our CISO teams, to our security buyers, our constituency, in terms of what an employee is doing, how and when, and if there's any malicious intent potentially that might be going on. So, and you as a CISO, you as a security officer, your compliance officer can decide, I'll keep the threshold to be high or low, where, okay, certain amount of stuff is okay, or I can create exceptions in the tool where if personal life is a big piece of your business kind of heuristics, great. We can work around that from the solution perspective. But in our experience, most organizations would want to tighten that up quite a bit.
Nice. Thanks for that explanation. And like I said earlier, I was going to dive deeper into large language models because Polymer is primarily an AI-based platform. So now we've seen a lot of organizations using large language models to elevate their code base. Sometimes even marketing companies now use it to write copy and so on. And inevitably, organizations are plugging in sensitive data into all these AI platforms, ChatGPT. What does Polymer do to be able to assess that type of risk, which is relatively new, less than 2 years, that everybody is jumping onto the AI bandwagon? How does Polymer make sure that employees are not sharing what they're not supposed to be sharing on large language models and so on?
So let me kind of break down the universe in Gen AI in general. One is obviously ChatGPT, which by itself is an island of its own in terms of how employees are using it through their phones, through your browser and on the employee domains, for example, through your Chrome. So those are obviously one big risk threat factor that's already sitting out there where a lot of sensitive information is being shared. You're sending in customer files to summarize. A lot of employees are using them for sales, kind of like collateral, even to come up with business proposals. And that's kind of like, it's already been in the market for 12 plus months in a very like powerful way. So that's one piece of it. We do have a solution that plugs into ChatGPT and other LLM models to be able to monitor what the prompts are saying to the model itself and what's coming out of the model. But in a nutshell, what Polymer basically does is we are basically very good at understanding the data context for both data at rest and data in motion. And this data in motion can be data going into your training model if you're building your own LLM models. This could be data in motion, which an employee is using a prompt for. Or this could be a data in motion where a model is outputting out to the employee. What we are finding, the adoption of AI is happening faster and more forward thinking. Like this is not a earth-shattering kind of diagnosis, but companies, a very small subset of companies who are already technology forward are building their own models using Anthropic, they're using Claude and other stuff. Predominant amount of AI adoption is right now taking place on the market using Microsoft Copilot for code writing is a big piece of it. Office 365 Copilot is another piece. And then there's a third pillar that's getting adopted very quickly and under our nose, to be honest, is within your Google environments with Gemini. Within Box is coming up with their own AI kind of tooling, Adobe, so forth. So every single SaaS product that you use for your work right now and most organizations use, an average organization will be using hundreds of SaaS products. The larger percentage of like where most of the work is happening is deploying their own AI models. That's kind of where we see the highest usage of AI adoption taking place along with Office 365 Copilot usage. And so we are basically a guardrail already in these SaaS products, monitoring from data exchanges, both internal and external, So we are monitoring for LLM kind of inputting data that's sitting in your Google Drive, for example, what could be pushed out to an LLM model or what's coming out of the LLM models, for example. So that's one area we have our pulse on and we're working with organizations on. And we see that to be our superpower right now. We are most directly involved with what the model is spitting out to users. So if you're basically asking a model to summarize information sitting in your document stores or your ticketing system, there might be some PII, PHI, or intellectual property information that could be leaked out of a prompt. So that's a use case for us that's been getting quite a bit of traction. The training side of the equation is still slow to get adopted just because very few organizations even have the technical wherewithal to be able to get their arms around that right now, to build their own model.
Is there anything that you're also doing regarding, you mentioned some other models like Copilot, which is basically developer focused. Does Polymer have any capabilities to basically monitor code bases, not just for large language models?
So we do work with code bases. So our platform basically allows for third-party integrations to be deployed over our platform. So Polymer works with a partner of ours, Phylum, which basically provides malware checks. They're one of the most state-of-the-art malware analysis companies in the market right now. And we work with them because if you're using Copilot, the biggest risks that come from code writing is, are you using packages that might be containing malware, number one, potentially. Number two is, are you using software packages that are not used for commercial licensing? So copyright infringement is the second piece of this. So we have a product in the market right now in conjunction with Phylum. You can get it through our directly from our app itself that checks for malwares, that creates SBOM reporting to satisfy a lot of requirements that are coming out in the marketplace right now, bill of materials, software bill of materials. Number three is copyright infringement piece. Am I using code base from open source environments that could be used for non-commercial usage, but if I'm a commercial enterprise, am I allowed to use it?
Talking about code bases and checking for malware and checking for copyright infringement, what would you say is the risk to also pay attention to that most people are not paying attention to, especially regarding emerging technologies like quantum computing? Or is that something you are not yet on your radar?
Yeah, it seems like a very sci-fi thing for me still. So probably when it gets market adoption, we look at it. But for now, it's not something
right. Okay. So do you have any advice for cybersecurity teams, organizations, large and small, from what you've seen in your years of experience so far, and also your experience running Polymer? What should organizations be paying attention to regarding their threat footprints that you don't think is being paid attention to enough?
I think I look at it from a data angle perspective. And from a data angle perspective, understanding what you own is probably step one. And I think a lot of organizations fail in that, probably because prior solutions or prior kind of data observability solutions did not go as deep as some of the modern tech stack or security stack that's available, Polymer being an example of that. Where are the highest risks? What is the blast radius of a given environment if I'm able to be hacked? What does my resiliency look like? Assuming that someone does come into my environment, what is the number three system they're going to go in, and what information can be leaked out? We saw with the Okta breach that ticketing system was a big, easy target for someone to be able to use a password which was used somewhere else, log in as a customer rep person, go through the tickets, get a credentials out from one of the tickets using from the HAR files that were created from customer troubleshooting tickets, use those credentials to log into the Okta system, internal system directly, and then be able to kind of like cause a lot of nuisance out there. So what are the soft targets in the environment? I see a lot of companies focus on firewalls, great, all those things, amazing, you need to do all those things. But what are the human risk-based soft targets? SaaS usually is one of them, to be honest, where someone can come in and things are just sitting nilly-willy. We saw this with Uber leaks that happened. Like Slack was one of the threat vectors. They were able to skim out credentials from there. Grand Theft Auto video footage that happened a year and a half ago was from Slack channels, for example. What is sitting in your Slack? What's sitting in your Google Drive, which is being shared publicly? Third-party risk. That's a big piece. Okay, I have a file that I'm sharing with the vendor. That vendor gets hacked. What is my third-party exposure looks like? Just basic stuff from an information governance perspective is kind of how I look at it to be the low-hanging fruit, and which is not necessarily given enough attention. Right.
Basically, you're describing the fact that as much as we cannot possibly know everything our vendors and our clients and our partners are doing, we should pay attention to what we can figure out internally and then go from there. Basically determining, like you mentioned, the blast radius. If I can lock down my data as secure as possible and I'm sharing things with my partners and clients and vendors, but then I'm also making sure that they handle the data correctly and properly, both at rest and in motion. So how would you say that also leverages zero trust? Because we hear zero trust a lot of times, but not many people practice zero trust architecture. So how would you describe zero trust architecture?
So it's a loaded question. Like it's a mindset also. Zero trust can mean different things to different people. We look at it from a zero trust perspective is what information from a user persona, what information do they have access to? And we go down to the level of types of information someone should have access to, basically. Once you're in the environment, how you manage that access to that information within commonly used kind of knowledge work platforms is one way we are implementing zero trust at the information set level in the organizations. There is zero trust construct on top of that, obviously, from a login perspective, SSOs and MFAs and all that. We're assuming that those things have been taken care of. And on our side, we have a proprietary engine that basically can look at an entity. So you can define, within a document, you can define groups of entities that certain groups of people within the organization should have access to or externally, and be able to create DLP rules on top of that. So that level of granularity is as good as it gets in terms of providing zero trust kind of architecture at the information level. Right.
So you're basically describing an entity-based zero trust architecture. Again, another term that is common in cybersecurity, information security, is the shift left approach to security. So what can you say about the shift left approach to security?
So when you think about a lot of CNAPP platforms, like cloud security platforms, they will do a scan of your buckets. They'll do a scan of your code bases to make sure there are no credentials. Our software supply chain solution basically is looking and reading code and looking for packages while the code is being written. So it's as shift left as it gets. We're playing a role both at the pre-commits, post-commit level. While the code is being pushed out, even before it hits your production code base, we're looking for malware, we're looking for copyright infringement, we're looking for actually credentials, have workflows around how to make sure it doesn't get pushed out. So that's like from a developer perspective, from the SDLC perspective, that's pretty shift left from our perspective. That's a solution we have even before it gets executed in the production side. So that's number one. And from the, I think from the information sharing perspective, as the document is created, as a document gets found its way in an organization, or someone is basically creating a share of an existing document within your file storage system or your ticketing system, we are getting those events in real time. So we're not going to be dependent on your end of day scan or scans you're going to do on a weekly basis. What does your environment look like? We can help you make decisions right at the stop of someone added a sentence in a document. That sentence contained PII. We are able to basically be able to detect if they're sensitive.
So you were describing the fact that there's usually real-time scanning that Polymer does on Google Drives and documents. Are these only on endpoint devices, or it's just based on the presence of your software within an enterprise?
So these are done basically at the API level. So we are getting these events in real time. We're also monitoring for your syslogs and any other telemetric data that's available through these platforms. So this is as real time as it gets. We are an agentless data loss prevention platform. So not the endpoint, but while events are happening at the platform level itself, from data changes or data sharing changes.
Got it. So to kind of pivot from there, there is this thing where a lot of people think there's a particular way cybersecurity or information security should be done. In your experience in the industry so far, what would you say are some misguided opinions on how security should be approached, on what security actually is, on the way some leaders and leadership committees basically decide to fund or not fund cybersecurity? So basically misguided opinions that you've seen within the industry as far as security is concerned.
I don't know if I'm the I have a very comprehensive answer on that, but I've worked in large organizations in the data privacy and security programs in general. And the approach of looking at, for example, looking at cost as a function of how things are working right now rather than evaluating how things could be, for example, like changing that framework of thinking could possibly serve well, because a lot of times in a lot of like big cloud migration programs, I used to do a lot of those, for example, where, okay, I'm going to have five engineers come in, do XYZ things. 2 years later, things might not be getting to a satisfactory level. I'll still be thinking, I threw five engineers at it, now I'm going to reduce it to three engineers. But maybe the tools and things have changed. Technology is changing so rapidly. How do I kind of like, what is the best available processes and tools available for me now? Maybe they might not be as difficult to implement as the initial one was, for example. With the cloud, those capabilities are there. With deployment of some of these services is much more easier also. So taking risks, well, risk is a loaded term, but running tighter experiments with different set of frameworks and technologies or services could behold well. I feel that there's a lot of risk averseness in terms of coming up with different solutions or coming up with different program heuristics in cybersecurity.
When you were describing how Polymer functions earlier, you mentioned there were some third-party integrations. Can you provide some, I know you cannot list everything, but what are the ones that you want the listeners to be able to know that this is what Polymer can do? These are the main relationships you have with other integrations that anyone from big, medium-sized or small organizations can say, okay, let's go get Polymer. What are those integrations that you can highlight for us?
So any users of Microsoft Office 365, E3 or E5 licenses, Google Workspace, obviously, if you're using Gmail, OneDrive, ticketing systems like Salesforce, Jira, or Zendesk, for example, is a big one. Code bases like GitHub. We are also in ChatGPT. We are also allowing organizations to enable third-party Gen AI services on SaaS. So, for example, if you're wanting to build a search engine using Cohere or one of the pre-trained models out there, you can just come to our platform and deploy this to our security fabric. Takes about like 10 minutes. You can get going, and then you can allow privacy-aware searches on your document sets or ticketing systems through our platform. So so wide range of use cases we handle. We have over a dozen different integrations. It takes us about 6 weeks to add a new one, but we're all constantly adding new ones. So feel free to look at our website and look for what's there.
Is there anything you would like to touch on or explain or mention that we haven't discussed so far?
No, I think the AI adoption for enterprises is a big kind of like topic right now in the marketplace. And one of the issues that's coming up is, how do I make sure sensitive data or my company data does not get leaked out? And thinking through that from a DLP angle probably crystallizes the problem a little bit simpler. Like if you just look at the inputs and outputs, that's one piece we are doing some cutting edge work on. I think that's pretty much it. Like, and SaaS is where your golden sources or copy of records are, and you might want to protect it, basically, is the message here.
So thanks once again for coming on. And of course, the conversation is still going to continue.
That's amazing. No, thanks for having me, babe. Thanks. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.